Psalm chapter 42, verse 1. To be honest with you, like I said, not having done this a lot, you have the chapel sermons that you would preach at a Bible college, you know, the get up and preach on the homosexuality and all this stuff, you get everybody screaming and yelling and stuff. You have those kind of messages, but I didn't feel that, you know, that's kind of what the Lord wanted for tonight, because, you know, you got seasoned veterans. This is the Wednesday night crowd. You know, this isn't the Sunday morning or the Sunday. These are the people that, you know, through the week, day in, day out, they're there all the time, consistently there. So, you know, more than anything, I just want to be, you know, a help. And, you know, I don't claim to be wise at all. I know I'm not, you know. I'm to that point now that I realize how much my dad did know, you know. And I'm serious about that. I mean, it's the honest truth, you know. Just getting married, you know, we had some stuff come up at the beginning of this week, and I just called Dad, you know. I got out, and it was just some stuff that was just beyond me, you know. And I called Dad, and I was like, Dad, what do I do, you know? And you call him, and he actually come over to the apartment or whatever, and we got through it, you know. But you get to that point that you just realize, you know, kind of the value of your parents or whatever. So I'm there. I don't claim to know anything. I'm just going to give you some principles that actually studying. I had actually prepared four different sermons and, you know, getting ready for tonight, and none of them were the right ones. And this one right here, actually, I stayed up till late last night studying, and you're just, you know, God gave me a couple of principles here. I'm just going to try to share with you tonight. Maybe it can be a help. I don't know. Obviously, you know, whenever you open the Word, it's not going to come back in void. So, Psalm 42:1, the Bible says, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." I'm going to take a drink of this water because I've had some, a little bit of scratchy voice coming on. The Bible says, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." I'm going to talk to you tonight about an appetite, or actually the title of the sermon is, "How's Your Appetite?" I actually had a class in college that Dr. Jorgensen, he taught just about a five-minute session one time. Actually, it was a five-minute little, I guess, part of a class on appetite. And it really got me thinking that day, and I was going back through some notes and stuff a little bit a while back, and started saying it, and actually just got it all put together last night. I'm going to talk to you about your appetite. I'm going to go ahead and pray real quick, so if you'd bow your heads, close your eyes, I'm going to pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. God, you know, Lord, my heart leading into this, God, I don't desire to preach at all a good sermon or anything, Lord. I just want to be a help to maybe, Lord, just one person. God, if I can be a help to one person, Lord, coming up here, you know, the whole, everything would be, Lord, would be worth it all. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill me right now. Lord, you know I can't do it. God, I've gotten up in front of kids before, Lord, and failed. I don't want to even attempt to get up in front of a church full of people here, Lord, that have had a faithful preacher day in and day out preaching to them and try to do it without your power. So I pray that you would help me tonight. And God, I pray that you would just, your will be accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to tell you something real quick that's going to please some of you. I am not, we're listening to a sermon by Brother Bill Burr from Hammond on the way up here, and he opened his sermon. He said, you know, I'm not a, he said, from the time that I start to the time that I finish will be about an hour and a half. And I was actually at that sermon when he preached it. It was in our church. So, you know, we're all like, oh man, you know, what in the world? But I am not long-winded. So I'll probably, from the time that I start to the time that I finish will be about 25 to 30 minutes, which would be, I don't know how you guys are, but that's about what it is. But don't turn me off. Okay? Don't turn me off. I've got a couple of principles here that I think can help you. So here we go. In Matthew 6, in verse 21, the Bible says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The implication there is the things that you hold dear, that's where your heart's going to be. You know, the things that you think about, that's where your heart's going to be. The Bible says there in the text verse, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so pants my soul after thee, O God." The psalmist said, hey, look, my soul, God, desires you more than anything in the world. That's what his desire was. That's what his appetite was. It was for God. That's what his soul panted after. I'm going to speak tonight about appetites. I enjoy eating. I'm a guy that, you know, you can tell. When I graduated high school, I was 185 pounds, 6'2" and 185 pounds. Now I'm 6'3" and about 240. So, and that's the span of about 5 years, you know. So Hannah's really going to have to watch that. I told her when we got married, I was like, you know, you're going to have to, you know, as much as I enjoy, you know, just country, hometown cooking, you're just going to have to watch, you know, salads, stuff like that. You're going to have to get me healthy again. But anyway, I enjoy eating. You can ask Hannah. We've had, you know, my one question when I call her if I'm at work is, what are we having for supper? What are we having for supper? And now, you know, the part, the place that we're at in life is hamburger helper. Which kind do you want, you know? So, but it's pretty good. That's true. The double cheese quesadilla kind is really good, believe me. It's awesome. But anyway, I'm a guy that enjoys a country home cooked meal. Okay, I'm talking like, you know, sweet tea, like fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and gravy. You know that 40 weight, that white gravy, you know, that you put in there. That's about, you know, you have to shake it to get it out. You know that kind that like clogs up your arteries or whatever. You know, like if I say a 3-inch biscuit, you know what I'm talking about. You know that flour, that biscuit that's still got flour on the bottom, it's about 3 inches thick. You know, corn on the cob, green beans, top it off with some homemade chocolate chip cookies and, you know, milk right out of the refrigerator, and you got it going, all right? I mean, I love to eat a meal like that, okay? My appetite is pretty good, you know, when it comes to those types of things. But the word appetite, if you actually study it out and think about it, and, you know, I looked in the dictionary or whatever, and it had this to say. It said to strive after, to crave, or like a desire for. All right, that's what the word appetite means. It's like a desire for, it's a striving for something or a craving for something. And I got to thinking about it. You know, so many Christians today, I work with people. I work at Sears Auto Center in Lexington. It's just, you know, the people there, there's not really, you know, Chad Gordon and I both work there. And we're pretty much the two, you know, only solid Christians that are there. And there's other Christians that are there. But, you know, those Christians are, you know, constantly out there. You know, they're listening to stuff they shouldn't listen to, doing stuff they shouldn't do, don't attend church faithfully, so on and so forth. And you get to thinking about it. Why don't they do that? They were born-again Christians just like I am. They got Christ living in their heart. Their desires are wrong. They got the wrong desires. That's why they're not in church. That's why, you know, so on and so forth. But the Bible's got a lot to speak about when it comes to this matter of a desire or your appetite. I want to read several verses here. If you can, turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 10. I hope you guys don't mind. I'm probably going to be sipping this water throughout tonight. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 10. You can be there. I'll be there in just a few minutes. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Make those things your desire. Make those things the thing that you think about on a constant basis, day in, day out. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, as opposed to all the other things that the devil tries to put up in front of your face by, you know, billboards, magazines, so on and so forth, and your checkout line, so on, all this stuff. The devil can try to captivate your mind. We need to keep these things in the forefront of our mind. All right, that's a Bible command there. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, he says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven, which is in heaven, is perfect." The idea of perfect there, that word perfect, does not mean sinless. That's not what it means. It means like complete or full or accomplishing everything that God has for you in your life as far as His will is concerned for your life. Accomplishing God's will to the fullest extent in your life. That's what the word perfect there means. It's like the idea of complete. He says there, you read the verse again, "Be therefore perfect even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." That should be our desire. My desire should be to accomplish everything that God has for me. You know, whether it be if I'm a layman in, you know, a factory or even a sales floor. You know, I never thought that I would be a salesman. I couldn't, you know, I'm an introvert by nature. The idea of getting up in front of people, you know, and speaking is just like heinous. You know, I can't even fathom it. If you'd have told me 5 years ago, but, you know, now you just, you know, according to God's will, you just get up and do whatever He wants you to do. Luke chapter 6, verse 36, the Bible says, "Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." We should desire to be merciful. There's a world of people out there that need, you know, just some mercy. You know, doesn't matter. You know, we should have, you know, believe in people. Believe in people. If you're in the ministry, believe in people. You know, there's people, again, that you meet on a daily basis. They've got problems. They've got hurt, you know, and they don't know. You know, they don't know you. They don't, you know, a lot of times, if you're a Christian or whatever, you can, you know, you can help them out. So, you know, desire to be merciful. James chapter 1, verse 5. This is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Because there's like a promise here. It says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given." I start laughing when I read this verse. It says, "If any of you lack wisdom," it's like, okay, you know, yeah, that's me. I lack it, you know, who is all wise, you know. If any of you lack wisdom, okay, well, that's open to everybody. Let him ask of God to give to all men liberally and upbraideth not. I should desire to be wise. Where you're at in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 10, it says this. "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." And it says this, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom." Make that your desire. Make that the thing that you're pushing for and striving for. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. It says, make wisdom the principal thing that you're striving after there. There's several different things there that are given from the Bible that we should be striving for, that those things should be our appetite. The last verse there, in Exodus chapter 20, verses 2 through 5, the Ten Commandments, speaking about desire, speaking about our appetite, the Bible says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor save them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. I think the idea there is God wants to be first place in our life. And he says, I'm your only God. Now, you can set up a golden calf in the wilderness, but that's not your God. I'm your God. Now, you can make Muhammad your God, but he's not a real God. I'm your God. You can make, Joseph Smith or Buddha or whoever you want to. You can set him up and you can act like you're a God. It can even be, an NBA player if you're a young person. When I was growing up, I loved basketball. I played basketball day in, day out. I was always out there after school and homework. I'd be out there playing basketball. I wanted to be an NBA player. You know how it is. I want to be an astronaut. I want to be an NBA player. Some people have, I talk to Buzz kids, they come in with their, Kobe Bryant jersey, which I wouldn't give you a dime for Kobe Bryant, but, somebody like that, they come in with their jersey on or whatever, and, they make them their God. They set them out there. They make that person what they want to be or whatever. I think God wants to be first place in our life. Remember in Genesis, God actually destroyed the earth because the people had wrong desires. Remember that? In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, the Bible says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Study that word imaginations out, and it means purposes or desires. That's what it means. The word imaginations there. God actually destroyed the earth because the people he created, and he created Adam and Eve in the garden. Eve had that desire for that fruit, if you will. She had that appetite for a little bit of a little bit of curiosity. I'm going to get to curiosity here in a little bit. She had a little bit of curiosity for that forbidden fruit. That little bit of desire essentially brought sin to all mankind. Alright? And the world here was destroyed because of it in Genesis. I'm going to write, if you're going to take some notes, there's just some main points that if you'd like to, you can jot them down, you're more than welcome to. Statement number one about appetites. Everyone has an appetite. All right, appetites are not exempt to anybody. Everybody's got them. Some people's are bigger than others, like mine. But as far as a physical appetite, but spiritual appetites, everybody's got them. Okay, everybody's got one. If you're breathing, if you're living, you've got an appetite. Every appetite, note this here. This is very important. Catch this. Every appetite is created by the fulfillment or gratification of a hunger, a curiosity, a desire, a suggestion, and appeal to the senses or your environment. Every appetite that I have is created by one of those things. For instance, somebody says, hey, I went to Red Lobster and got their shrimp. Alright? I like shrimp. What do I do? The next time I buy a Red Lobster and I'm hungry, I go into Red Lobster and I buy a shrimp. I buy some of the shrimp. I try it out. An appetite is then created. I go back to, Red Lobster the next day. And I get me some more shrimp. And I go back to Red Lobster the next day. And I get me some more shrimp because I love Red Lobster shrimp, okay? An appetite was created not, because it was forced on me, but just because of a curiosity. That's how appetites are created. Another thing there, desire. I have a desire. I see something, let's say, on a billboard. Let's say, for instance, alcohol. They promote it up there. They've got, the beach and all this other stuff, with the butt, the Bud Light and all this other stuff, and it looks real nice. And you have a little bit of curiosity or a little bit of desire for it. You go out and try it that first time, and then boom, you got an appetite there for it that essentially takes you down into, pretty deep sin. Every appetite that you have is created by a fulfillment or gratification of a hunger, curiosity, desire, suggestion, appeal to senses, or environment. Okay, note that. Statement number two, every individual's appetite is unique to that individual. Alright, everyone's appetite is unique to you. Alright, my appetites are not that of Hannah's, or Brother Ross, or Miss Ross, or anybody else in here. our appetites are not the same. All right, the things that I like, you might not necessarily like. The things that you might like, I might not like. Okay, everyone's individual appetite is unique to that person. We may have common likes or interests, but my desires are intricate. Okay, statement number three. Each individual's appetite can be either spiritual or carnal. Okay? Each individual's appetite can be either spiritual or carnal. Now this right here, this point right here really helped me out. When I got to studying this last night, I got excited about it. Because you know, this is the honest to goodness truth. I've got an appetite, you've got an appetite, everybody's got one. Alright? My desires, my appetites are unique to me. My desires and my appetites can be either spiritual or they can be carnal. Now here's what I mean. The devil is constantly trying to whet my appetite for carnal and worldly things. Alright? This is why Christians must be aware of what is going on around them and be wise to what the devil's trying to do in your life. Parents, as a parent, you've got a kid that is young. They don't have necessarily any appetites at all. And the devil realizes that. So what the devil tries to do, he tries to put either associations around that kid or an environment around that kid that is going to create an appetite in that kid to do what the devil wants that kid to do. Okay? So parent, it's very imperative as a parent to, you know, guard the appetite that your kids are getting molded. Alright? Note this. If I have fed a carnal appetite in my past, it is difficult to impossible to completely eliminate that appetite. Alright? Think about it. For instance, my dad, he didn't grow up saved. He grew up in a Methodist church. Alright? Some of the music and stuff that my dad listened to, you know, he had struggled when he became saved. When he got saved, he was like 20, I think, 6 or 8 when he got saved. Those things that he had beforehand carried with him into his Christianity. Alright? That desire for music or whatever. I had a problem with music. Alright? When I was younger, you know, we had some of that music there. Alright? So you have a little bit, you know, once you have created an appetite essentially for that music, you're gonna carry that with you. You know, that's how we're in the store. Hannah will sometimes slap me, you know, cause I'll be tapping my foot or, you know, doing that or, you know, singing a song or something like that. But I don't even know what I'm doing, you know, but I have created an appetite and I had fulfilled that appetite when I was younger and that's still with you. Okay? So that's why it's very important to keep a watch on what you got going on. If you have given into music, you'll most likely always deal with it. Okay? The same is true for, you know, for anything. Drinking. You know, if you take that first drink, you know, you're going to create an appetite for it, you know, that you're going to have to deal with the rest of your life. And you know, they have programs and whatever, you know, that deal with that. And people spend thousands of dollars. You know, think about smoking. And that's why young people, you know what? Take a puff of that first cigarette. You know what? You're going to deal with it the rest of your life. Pretty stupid, you know, you take a, you know, 10-cent cigarette or whatever and you puff it once and you're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars the rest of your life on Nicorette and all this other stuff trying to stop it. It's pretty dumb to me. Alright, you create an appetite for it. That's why I have one of those old-fashioned moms. Alright? She told me, she's like, Gerald, if I ever catch you with a cigarette in your mouth, I'm going to take the whole pack, the whole box. I'm going to jam it down your throat. Alright? You don't have to worry about me ever smoking a cigarette, Mom. You know, and then, you know, later on I found out, you know, why I shouldn't do it and so on and so forth. And she's like, you know, if you ever take a drink of alcohol and I find out about it, she said, you know what, I'm going to get a box of it. She said, I'm going to start taking them. I'm going to chuck them at you until you run out of the house. I was like, all right, you know, that's fine. I'll never do it again. You know, or I won't do it. I never, you know, that's a good thing. I said, I'll never do it again. That's better. Remember, this is the first time I've ever done this, guys. No, I'm just kidding. I never have. You know, I've never taken a puff of cigarette. Never taken a drink of beer. Never touched my lips, okay? Don't want an appetite for it, okay? Pornography, guys, you know what? Think about it. That's very, very prevalent in our society today. You go to Kroger or Meijer, wherever, whatever you have up here. You know, I don't know. IGA, I guess. I don't know if they got stuff like that in IGA or not. But anyway, you know, you go up to Terre Haute, you know, you go to Walmart, stand there in the checkout line where they got the chips and the beef jerky and the gum and then all the other little, you know, trinkets on the other side. But then they got that row of magazines there. You know, there's stuff on those magazines that ain't right for anybody. And it's right there in your face while you're trying to pay for your, you know, just the stuff that you got in there to get. I mean, that's very open in our society today. You create an appetite for that, young guy, you know what? You're going to deal with it the rest of your life. It's never going to leave you. All right? And you know what? It's going to hurt your relationship with your wife. It's going to hurt your relationship. You know, the Bible says that the sins of the father visited the third and fourth generations. You know what? I value the life of my grandchildren and great-grandchildren enough to want to stay away from stuff like that. Yeah, you know, because the Bible says that those sins that I do are going to be visited to them. Okay? So think about it. Application. Parent, this is why it's important for you to be wise concerning your children's activities and associations. All right? Because the devil knows that in the mind of that kid, there are appetites that are going to be created. And those appetites are going to be either one of two things. They're going to be carnal, they're going to be spiritual. Okay? And it's up to you as a parent. That's what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22. Train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old will not depart from it. You create an appetite, essentially, is what it's saying. You create an appetite in that kid to do right. When he's old, he's not going to leave from that appetite, because that's going to be his desire. That's what the Bible's talking about. Okay, so it's very important for you as parents to think about that. And hopefully, one of these days, we'll be there too. And I can catch up with all you guys. So, anyway, it's kind of, you know, I'm speaking to parents, and I'm not even a parent yet. So, but anyway, it's a Bible principle. It's good for everybody, I guess. Statement number four. Your appetite will be what you make it to be or what you allow it to be. My preacher has this statement that he said often when I was in college, and then Dr. J adapted it and pretty much said it every other chapel sermon. I cannot decide if or how someone will influence me. However, I can decide who will influence me. Alright? You got somebody, let's say you got a kid, and they're hanging around somebody, you know, that, you know, obviously is a parent, you know, they got their hat turned around backwards, they got their pants sagging down. You know they're not the right kind of kid that they should be, you know, hanging around, and they got a bad attitude toward their parent, bad attitude toward authority. I can't decide how that person will influence my kid, because I know that they're going to influence them for bad. But I can decide if my kid will influence, you know, if my kid will be influenced by that particular individual. Because you know what I can say? You know, you're not going down to Johnny's house today. You're not going down there ever again. All right? You have that opportunity as a parent. That statement again, I love that statement. I think about that statement all the time. I cannot decide if or how someone will influence me. However, I can decide who will influence me. An awesome statement. Note this. I must be careful then not to create an appetite that has no proper fulfillment. All right? If I create an appetite in myself or in somebody else for, you know, let's say something of the world, you know, by means of watching something on TV or something like that. If I look at that and create an appetite for it, but then in order to fulfill that appetite, I have to go out and sin. All right? Then I've created an appetite that has, in my mind, in my life, no proper way of fulfilling it.
Right.
Because I'm a Christian and I can't go into the bar and get drunk like I see on the movies. All right? I have no way to properly fulfill that appetite. All right? So just think about that too. Experience. I was sheltered as a kid. All right? I was sheltered. I mean, very sheltered. If you can be sheltered, I was. All right? Like I said, my mom and dad, they're old-fashioned. You know, if it's right, it's right. If it's not, it's not. That's the way it is. It didn't matter. You know, I was 16 years old. I said something when I shouldn't have said, or said it in the wrong tone or whatever. My mom slapped me so hard that I fell down on the floor in the kitchen out of my chair. And I was 16. I was pretty big. You know, I was the big basketball varsity player, all that other stuff, you know. But she just, bam, you know, and boom, I'm laying there on the floor. So I was like, you know, stars, Twilight Zone stuff, you know. I was like, wow. she knows that. Anyway, I was sheltered as a child, you know. Not though because my mom and dad wanted to be mean to Gerald or to Stephanie or to Samantha or to Lauren. That was not their intention. They were trying to guard my appetite. And you know what? They did a pretty good job of it. All right? And I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm just saying, you know what? I love to be in church. I have I work a retail job. You're in the busy season now. There are several times that I'll have to miss a Wednesday night service. Sunday is not an option, but when I've got a family now and this is the only job I've got, there are certain times that I have to miss with a retail job a Wednesday night. But you know what? I love being in church. In those times, you know what? I go home and listen to a sermon or listen to a sermon on lunch break or something like that, you know. I love being in church. I love preaching. I was in church 9 months before I was born. I've been in church ever since then. Okay? But you know, shelter your kids. Shelter your kids. It's not bad. It's Bible, okay? It's Bible. I guess this would be, what is this, statement number 4 or statement number 5? I guess this would be 5 here, I would assume. Let's see. Yeah, statement number 5. I can have dominion over my appetite. Okay, I can have. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay? Through the Holy Spirit's power, you know what? You can have, you know, let's say for instance, you've got a bad appetite. Let's say that when you were younger, you smoked, and you've got an appetite for that now. You know what? Through the Holy Spirit's power, you don't have to spend thousands of dollars on Nicorette. You can get in the Word of God, you can get the Holy Spirit's help, and you can get over that like that. All right. Now, some people it's not going to be that hard, or some people it's not going to be that easy. Some people it might be easy, okay? But with the Holy Spirit's help, you know what? The Bible says nothing's impossible with God. All right. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. God is all-powerful. He's omnipotent. He can do anything. He turns the hands of the king or turns the heart of the king. He can do anything in your life. He can help you overcome an appetite that's wrong. You know, He can. Statement number 6. Final statement right here. Thus, as a Christian, I should develop and maintain appetites that cater to the work and will of God for my individual life. All right, in my daily life, you know what? No matter who you are, what you're called to be, what God's got for you, well, you know, let's say you're going to be a layman, let's say you're going to be a pastor, let's say you're going to be a missionary, whatever. No matter who you are, there are Bible-commanded appetites that we should have. All right? The first one I've got, you should have an appetite for the Word of God. All right? Every single day you should get up, you know, and have a desire to get in the Bible and read the Bible and, you know, study the Bible and let God do something in your heart from the Word of God. You know why? Because God doesn't necessarily speak in an audible voice anymore. Because He's given us, you know, His revealed Word right here, you know. He's given us the Word. That's His Word. That is His Word. That's how He speaks to us today. If you're not in the Word, He's not speaking to you. If God's not speaking to you, He's not doing anything in your life. You know, he can't work through you if you're not in the Bible, okay? For me, you know, to have God working through me, I've got to get in His Word. I've got to get the Holy Spirit power on my life. And then I've got to go out and, you know, do what God wants me to do. So first of all, I should have an appetite for the Word of God. Secondly, I should have an appetite for singing praises to God. Now, I'm not a good singer. My preacher says, my preacher's a pretty good singer. He's very talented. He has a statement that I agree with, and I say amen to pretty much every time he says it. I don't sing because I can. I sing because I can't help it sometimes. We'll get up here and, you know, generally I sing when I'm in the Jeep by myself. I haven't got to the point that I sing in front of Hannah yet because I don't want to subject her to that kind of torment and torture. But on the way up here, we had this, I don't know who it was. It was like Sacred Heritage or some, you know, little college group that was singing or whatever. And I was trying to sing like a girl and all this other stuff, just making her laugh, whatever. But I'll do that stuff sometimes. But, you know, we should have an appetite to sing praises to God. You know what? The way that I show God that I love Him is a lot of times, you know, you get out a songbook and you just start reading through and then start singing those hymns that talk about the blood of Christ and that talk about salvation and that talk about, you know, I love justification. You know, I'm justified in the sight of God. You start thinking, you know, singing a song like I'm justified. And you know what? That brings honor and that brings glory to God. And you know what? I want to please Him. So I'm going to have an appetite. I want to create an appetite in my heart and in my life that I'm going to sing praises to God. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, for show or whatever. But, you know, when you're in your car by yourself, you know, just start singing Jesus Loves Me, you know, or something like that. But create an appetite for singing praises to God. Thirdly, I should have an appetite for prayer. Prayer meeting, Wednesday night. Obviously, there are some people that have an appetite for prayer. That's why you're here on a Wednesday night. We should have an appetite for prayer. Waking up in the morning. You know, prayer works, guys. Prayer works. It does. Like I said, this week, I'm not going to go into any of it, but the beginning of this week, there was just something that completely just blew us out of the water. You know, and you got a newly married couple. You know, to me, I was just like, God, what in the world are you trying to do here? You know, I was like, what am I supposed to do? And I called Dad, you know, and he prayed with us and some other stuff, you know. But prayer works. And you know what? Within 4 hours, everything was back to normal. You know, it was before, it was a life-changing problem. But now, 4 hours later, everything's worked out and everything is kosher again. Everything is fine. You know why? Because God is an awesome God. And God does answer prayers. You know what? I had a wife at home. You know, she prayed. You know, I know she was praying. I was praying. My dad was praying. My mom was praying. I called Pastor Jerry. I knew he was praying for us. And everything got worked out. And you know what? Everything's fine. because God answers prayer. We should have an appetite. Create an appetite in our heart. Create an appetite in your kids' hearts to pray. Have prayer with them every evening. Create an appetite in them. Pray before meals. You know, when we go out, it's kind of, you know, sometimes when I was younger, when I was, you know, 16 or 17, my dad, when we go out to pray, or when we go out to eat, we don't go out to pray in restaurants, that's pretty stupid. I go out to eat. Come on. Good night. That's why you go to, you know, Red Lobster and get your shrimp. You know, go there to pray. Anyway, when you go there, you know, and you have, you know, you sit down at your table, you know, and you got everybody hustling and bustling around you, you know. When you stop there and pray, you know, it's not one of these, now let me down to sleep, you know, all these, you know, one little, you know, quick 5-second prayer, thank you for the food, amen. When my dad prays, he prays. Bow your head, close your eyes in a restaurant. You're creating an appetite in your kids to pray. That's what you're doing. My dad, sometimes it's like a 3 or 4 minute prayer in a restaurant. Wednesday or Monday night, my dad and mom took Hannah and I out to a place called Cheddar's that we've got there in Lexington. And took us out there, and this was on that day that, you know, kind of everything happened, whatever. And we had probably about a 3 or 4 minute prayer there in Cheddar's with everybody, you know, the waiter standing there at the table, whatever, you know, waiting on us to get done praying. But you know what? Prayer's a serious matter. And God answers that prayer. You know what? And it was actually, consequently, we had that 4 minute prayer, and I just thought about this. At the end of our meal, I got the phone call that everything had been worked out, you know, for this problem, whatever. It was at the end of that meal. You know, God answered that prayer, I believe, you know, because of those prayers. So develop an appetite for prayer. Fourthly, develop an appetite for soul winning. You know, in your kids. You know, you have Wednesday soul winning or whatever for your team. Take them out soul winning. Take them out on the bus route or whatever. I've been in the bus route for 8 years and just love the bus route. Get out there. If we have programs and stuff at our church, you know, just like you guys do here. You know, sometimes we'd be out during the week visiting and they would want to take us over to an area for the other church, and I would always go to my bus route, you know, because I want to try to build that thing up and soul win on my bus route. But create an appetite to go soul winning. Create an appetite then for surrender. And your kids, you know what? Don't discourage them from the ministry. You know, God. It seems to me like we've got on our bus. We've got the majority of the kids that are on our bus are young ladies, and there's a problem with that. There's a problem with that. God's not calling enough men nowadays. But He's calling, but they're not going. That's the problem, because you know God's still looking for a man. Ezekiel said, "And I sought for a man among them," and then he says, "I found none." Now I pray that's not, you know, that's not God's, you know, God's, I guess, fate here in this, you know, in this society that we've got. I pray that, you know, we've got some men that are going to stand up. You know what? It's got to start in a home with an attitude, with an appetite for surrender. Don't discourage them from the ministry. When I come home, I was at Brother Dave's camp up in Iowa, Cedar River, and God called me to preach up there, and I come home and told Mom and Dad, and they were like, you know, son, you know, they didn't say, well, that's good, that's great, you know, whatever. They didn't say, you know, good night, son, what are you thinking, you're crazy, you know, they didn't say anything like that. They said, son, if that's what God has called you to do, then you go and you do that. That's the proper attitude to have. And you know what? God did call me, and here I am, okay? Create an appetite in your kids for surrender. I'm almost finished, guys. Create an appetite in your kids for discipleship. You know what? They should desire to be a help to people. Desire to help people. You know what? We are, just like God, you know, when he had just called Peter and the disciple Andrew and all them, he had just called them. He took them up on a mountain. He gave them the Beatitudes. Then he told them this. He said, you know what? You are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. You know what? That's our job today, too. We're to go out into the world. We're to get them converted. We're to get them saved. Then we're to get them in. We're supposed to disciple them, to grow them, to help them, to aid them. That's our job. Create, I think Pastor Jerry's been teaching on discipleship. A couple more things. Create an appetite for God's blessing. You know what? God will bless you. He has blessed us. Good night. We live in America. We live in the greatest country in the world. All right. I'm an American. I'm not a, you know, hyphenated American. I'm an American. I'm a red-blooded, red, white, and blue, proud to be an American. We live in the best country in the world. God has blessed us beyond compare. Hannah and I I meant to say this before the message too. I'm just going to time out in the message. Thank you for everything that you did for Hannah and I at the wedding, preceding, the parties, everything. All that you guys did for us and the people at our church. We have been so blessed. We were talking about it the other day. We had my mom and dad come over, and they looked at all the stuff that we had, and they're like, "Good night, you guys are like you've been married for 20 years with all the stuff that we have." You know, I mean, because literally, if you come down there, we got an apartment that is fully furnished. I mean, pictures on the wall, you know, everything in the drawers, everything, you know, everything. We've got anything that we need, and we appreciate it very much. All right, I mean to say that Hannah and I very much appreciate it. So thank you. Time in. Okay, here we go again. Lastly, create an appetite for preaching. All right, love preaching. I'm not a good preacher. I love to do it. I love to get up in front of kids. This past Sunday, I got up and I taught on Daniel and the Lion's Den. You know, just a basic little Bible message. And before that, we had this game that we were playing. And I love just getting up and having a good time at church. You know. And here's another thing, bus workers, when you get in church, have a good time. You know, I've been out in Michael's Junior Church a lot of times. We have a good time out there too. But this past Sunday, my sister was, I don't even remember what it was. We were doing like this Quizzler game or something. And my sister said, because she was singing some songs, she said, "All right, we're going to let the person come up here next who looks like the biggest nerd." So I started thinking about what a nerd looks like. So I loosened my, I unbuttoned my top button, whatever. I messed my tie up, you know. I rolled my pant legs up, you know, to where my socks were showing. You know, I pulled my pants way up, and I started singing, you know, like that, you know. And all the kids were just dying laughing. And then she got Hannah and I up there, and we had this contest or whatever, and we just had a good time with it. But, you know, create an appetite for church and preaching. All right? Now, here's a question. How do I develop and maintain biblical principles in my life? How do I do it? All right, I've got a couple statements here, too. First of all, make a close relationship with the Lord Jesus your ultimate desire. Because you know what? As you have Jesus as your ultimate desire, you know, all these other appetites are going to fall under that umbrella. Okay? You know, you have Jesus as your ultimate desire, then automatically I'm going to have a desire to read His Word. Automatically I'm going to have a desire to go to church because that's where I'm going to learn about Him. If He's my ultimate desire, I'm automatically going to have a desire to want to tell everybody that I've got, okay? You know, that I meet about Him. I'm going to have a desire to want to sing praises to Him and to want to give to Him and want to serve Him, all right? So make Him your ultimate desire. Number two, read books by men of God who have done what you want to do or are called to do. Read books by men who have been there and done that. If you're wanting to be a better prayer warrior, read a book by John Rice called "Asking Prayer is Asking," or "Prayer Asking and Receiving." All right. Read a book by Ian Bounds. He's got something called "The Complete Works." It's a book on prayer. I forget the title of it, but it's a complete work on prayer. It's like that thick. I got it when I was in college and have gone through it several times. If you want to be a better soul winner, Dr. Hiles has a book called "Let's Go Soul Winning," I think. Read books by men who have been there and done that, and you know what? Those things will encourage you to create that appetite and develop and maintain that appetite in your life, okay? Number three, surround yourself with encouragers, not discouragers, okay? When you decide to create a right appetite in your life, don't go back to the associations that you once had. Don't hang around, and you know what? This is true even in a church. You know, there are some people that are in churches, and I don't know anybody. You know, I know most people here. You know, I'm acquaintance with, but as far as actually knowing people, I don't know. You know, I know some people in our church. And, you know, the church is 1,000 people. You know, so obviously there are some people there that, you know what, if I've just created an appetite and I want to develop and maintain that appetite, I'm not going to hang around them because, you know what, they've got a negative spirit or they've got, you know, a negative attitude toward the preacher or toward the pastor, you know, whoever, whatever, you know, what's going on. So surround yourself with encouragers, not discouragers. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, it says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." All right, walk with wise men. Surround yourself with encouragers, not discouragers. Listen attentively when the Word of God is preached and apply the principles of the Word of God to your daily life. All right, you got a great preacher here. I love listening to Pastor Jerry. We were on our honeymoon, and we were kind of, the way we were traveling, we were going down to Gatlinburg from Lexington. It's about 4.5 hours. So we got down there, and we're going to try to hit Brother Sexton's church there in Knoxville, but we got there at about 5, so we don't want to wait 2 hours, you know, and then have to check into the hotel at like midnight. So we're going to try to make it to Gatlinburg and then make it to Gatlinburg in time because we didn't know the church started at 6. So what we did, we had some of the music tapes. We popped in one of Pastor Jerry's messages and listened to it. It was like how, like 10 reasons or 10 steps or 15 steps how to keep your kids off a mission field or something. I was laughing, and, you know, I loved the whole, it was an awesome message, you know. But you got a great preacher. Listen attentively when he's preaching and then apply those principles to your life. You know what? That'll help your appetite. That'll help your desire, okay? And lastly, the final thing I promise, involve yourself actively in the ministries of the church. Involve yourself actively in the ministries of the church. Alright, you know what? Those things are going to encourage your appetite. Those things are going to encourage your desire. They're going to increase your desires. Okay? Teenager, listen, what kind of appetite? This is the application. This is the message here. The title was, how's your appetite? Teenager, you know what? How's your appetite? You got some appetites already? Maybe you're only 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, but you have a couple appetites that are maybe not godly, maybe a little bit carnal, maybe a little bit worldly. Maybe it's the way you dress or the way you talk or the way you act, the way you walk. If you got some of those appetites that you know on the inside, if you had to admit, you know they're a little bit carnal. If you got some of those appetites, you know what? You better change them quick. You know why? Because that appetite, if it's a bad one, it's growing every day. Alright? And it's getting worse and worse every day. You may not know it, but other people do. Alright? So teenager, if you got an appetite that's not right, you know what? You need to hit the altar. You need to get God in on that thing. You need to get that thing turned around and get a proper attitude back, proper appetite back, proper desires back. Mom and dad, are there appetites in your lives and in your homes that are maybe a little bit carnal? You know what? Take an inventory. The Bible says let a man examine himself. All right, think about it. I mean, you know, we're all sinful creatures. We all, every single one of us in here, deserve to die and go and burn in hell. Every single one of us in here. Because we're all sinners. Nobody in here is above anybody else. We're all on the same level. Alright? Doesn't matter if you pastor a church of 10,000 or pastor a church of 50 or are, you know, a Sunday school teacher or are just a new Christian in church. We're all on the same playing field. When God looks at us, we're all sinners. Alright? So examine yourself. Think about it. Do you have any appetites in your life that are maybe a little bit carnal? Christian, overall, is the Lord Jesus pleased with the desires of your heart and life? If He is not, that is something that needs to be corrected so God can accomplish His perfect will in your daily life. Alright? Think about it. How's your appetite, Pastor Jerry?
Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for what we've heard tonight, Lord. And we do ask, Lord, that you would take these Bible principles and fasten them close to our hearts. Lord, as we pause now, right before an invitation, Lord, may we just take inventory. God, it's hard to go through the whole list of our life and everything, but I do thank you that the Holy Spirit's so good about pointing out what He wants us to deal with this, in this particular service on this particular day. And I would ask, Lord, that you would help us to stop and allow Him just for a moment to inventory appetites. Lord, if we've developed an appetite towards something that's taken us in the wrong direction, Lord, I pray that you'd help us just to, by the grace of God, get victory over that, cast that thing down. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, develop the right appetites. Thank you for what we've heard. I pray these things in Jesus' name.